Today's shiur is sponsored Le'ilui Nishmas Rav Yaakov Yitzchak ben Rav Moshe Weinberg by his daughter and son-in-law, Rabbi Mrs. Trainer. His yahrzeit was Chof Vav Shvat. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, an Ohev Yisrael, an Ohev Shalom. He was a Chassidish Yid, but when it came to learning Torah, he was able to work together with people from different Yiddish backgrounds. He was a chavusa with Rav Breuer. Yehi zichro baruch. We're on Shmuel Aleph, Perek. Today we'll learn Perek Chav Zayin, but there's a few sukkim we'd still like to discuss in Perek Chav Vav. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chav Vav. We had in Pasuk Yud Tes. We mentioned the last year. David said to Shaul, "Im Hashem heschischa bi, va'ata now yishmano Adoni Amelech, let my master the king hear my words, say stivrei avdo, im Hashem heschischa bi, if Hashem is inciting you against me, yorach mincha, let him smell the korban mincha, I'll bring a korban, it'll be a reach nichoach, and Hashem will accept that." The Gemara mentions in Baruchas on Daf Samach Beis that this was actually held as a taina against David. Just to use that word, if Hashem is inciting you against me, Hashem doesn't incite people. It's, in other words, the word of a mesis, to call somebody a mesis is to persuade them to do something that's not good, something detrimental. To refer to Hashem as a mesis was not a proper term, and we'll see later on. At the end of Shmuel, Sefer Shmuel, David made a mistake and he counted Klal Yisrael, and over there the term is used that they were Mesis David to do that. They persuaded him to do the wrong thing. But Ve'im B'nei Ha'adam, if this is coming from people are inciting you against me. Arurim Heim Lifnei Hashem, they're cursed before Hashem. There's an interesting discussion, I want to mention it. It's a really exhaustive subject where there's a lot of Mar Makomos and a lot of sources to delve into. But just to mention this idea, is it possible for one person to hurt another? Here the Pasuk seems to imply, in B'nei Adam, if people are behind it, they are cursed Lifnei Hashem, because David feels the anguish, ki yershuni hayom, you're driving me out today, mehistapeach benachlas Hashem, from attaching myself to Eretz Yisrael. Leimar, it's like you're saying, lech avod Elohim acherim, go and worship avod Zorah. Leave Eretz Yisrael, we don't care what happens to you, go among the goyim, leave the Eretz HaKadosha, and that's what they're doing to me. So Arurim Heim Lifnei Hashem, I leave it up to Hashem, Hashem will give them their punishment. But they're cursed for doing such a thing that can damage my whole eternity. You're driving me out of Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be more difficult to ascend levels in Ruchnias and Avodas Hashem among the Plishtim outside of Eretz Yisrael. They're cursed before Hashem. It seems to imply that they could be hurting David. The interesting thing is, Rav Chanan Wasserman brings down in his Kovitz Mamorim, there's a Gemara that says, Hakol bidei Shemayim, everything is in the hands of Shemayim, chutz mitzinim upachim, except for the cold and the heat. As if somebody wants to go and whatever, gets sick and he goes out into the freezing cold and he's not dressed properly, or a guy wants to cause himself a sunstroke, chas v'shalom. If a person wants to hurt himself, he could. But everything else is hakol bidei shamayim. And over there, Tosfos asks, what do you mean hakol bidei shamayim? Everything's bidei shamayim. The Gemara says you're not allowed to stand under a ladder that's under a kir notu. If there's a wall that looks like it's about to fall, you're not allowed to go by that wall. Or a person can't stand in a mokum sakana. So how are you telling me hakol is bidei shamayim except for the cold and the heat? A person's got to take care of himself. You got to be careful where you go. And Tosfos answers, that, of course, if a person wants to hurt himself, and as a person, of course, a person can hurt himself, a person could kill himself, a person can do what he wants to himself. And therefore, a person has to be careful. Just cold and heat is the type of area where Hashem gave totally up to man. Normally, a person can get a punishment bidei shamayim with different events. A person can bring it on himself, and Hashem can cause it to a person. The area of the common cold, whatever, the cold and the heat, that Hashem leaves up to people. That's what Tosfos says. Rav Hanan says, if not for that Tosfos, he would have assumed a more clearer path in this discussion, is that of course a person can't hurt himself, and a person can't do anything to himself. But whatever happens was going to happen anyways, but a person gets punished for trying to do an Aveira. Just like if one person hurts another. I know he uses over here, just like one person can't kill another person, unless there was a gezeirah, unless in Shemaim it was decreed that somebody should die, nobody could kill him. If he's not supposed to die, he won't die. So too I would say a person can't kill himself. Anything that happens, it was going to happen anything. Anyway, sakol b'dei Shemaim. But a mikol makom, the one who does it, is chayiv. If somebody kills himself, so he's chayiv for doing that, but it would have happened anyways. And he quotes the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha. And the Ramban says, by the Bris Ben HaBesorim, there's a whole discussion. It says, Vavodim ve'inu osam arba me'oshana, that the Jews would be enslaved and worked for 400 years, and that's why we suffered in Mitzrayim. The question is, why did the Egyptians get punished? Hashem said that we would be in Mitzrayim and we would suffer all those years. Why are they punished? And the Ramban discusses it, and he says, V'davah havein, you should know and understand. If somebody who was decided on Rosh Hashanah that he's going to be killed, lo yinoke halistim hahargo, any bandit, any listim who kills that person doesn't go innocent. Bavur sh'asam asha nigzer, although we can't say, you know, if he killed that person, obviously that person was going to die anyways. And it's true, he was going to die anyways. But who Rosh Bavono yamus? V'domo miyad ha'rotzeach yivukash. The Ramban says, the rule is whatever was going to happen anyways. But the one who did it is a Rosh, and he's going to get the full punishment. In other words, we look at it as if he did it. But it was going to happen anyways. You know, if a person thinks about it, a person sort of has to live with that feeling as if he's doing something. Otherwise, the truth is everything that happens, you're really doing nothing. Let's say a person needs to raise money for some stucco cause, and you make a major campaign to raise the money. I would tell you that the truth is, whoever got this money, whatever, he needed to raise a sum of money, and it was raised, it wasn't going to be raised anyways. And if you give him the money, you should know if you wouldn't give it to him, somebody else would give it to him. Everything was decreed on Rosh Hashanah, he's going to get what he's going to get. Just you have a nisayon and you have an opportunity, you can do the mitzvah, and you came and you did the mitzvah. But the truth is, the effect would have happened anyways, because it was decreed on Rosh Hashanah, if they were supposed to get that money, they'd get that money, and if not for you, somebody else would do it. But the Ramban is saying, Hashem judges it as if you didn't have to be the one, somebody else could have done it, and you did it, therefore you get the credit for doing this tremendous action, that as if without you it wouldn't have been done, and you're treated that way. The Chovas Halvavos in Shar HaBitochen Perek Dalet also says this, that V'chein ein royu la'odim likonis b'sakonos. A person's not allowed to put himself in an area of a sakona, b'bichono al gezerus habore, with bitochen in Hashem, because they're just like every, in other words, you're not allowed to, just like every mitzvah and every chiyuv that we have from the Torah, you have to take care of yourself. But the truth is, whatever happens was going to happen anyways. Hakovid Shemayim, except for the tzinim upachim. On the other hand, there's an Orach Chaim HaKadosh in Parshas Vayeshev. Where it says when Yosef was coming to his brothers after he had held all the dreams, which were nevuos, that he was going to be the leader and they were going to bow down to him, and they had a hatred for him. So they were plotting that they would kill Yosef. So Vayomar Leim Ruvain. Ruvain said to them, Al tish b'chudam, don't spill blood, throw him into this bor. And the intention was Laman Hatzil Oso Miyodam, and his intention was to save Yosef, Lahashivo El Oviv, to return Yosef back to his father. That was Reuven's intention. And Chazal say that the pit had Nechoshim and Akravim. It had snakes and scorpions. So on one hand, Reuven is saying, let's not kill him, we'll throw him into the pit. But the pit was also full of snakes and scorpions. Of course, you could say he didn't notice them, but that's a discussion. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, Vayatzileu miyodim, what does it mean that Reuven saved Yosef from his brothers? Pirish lefisha adam baal bechira. A person has choice. V'rotzon, and he has his will. V'yochol larog mishalo nischayev misa. He could kill somebody who's not chayev misa. Masha'en kein chayos rose, while wild animals lo yifku ba'odom, im lo yischayev misa l'shamayim. Snakes, scorpions, anything like that won't hurt a person unless it's supposed to happen. But why a person, he has bechira, and therefore somehow, with his bechira, he can hurt even if it wouldn't happen. V'hu omro v'yatzileu miyodam, pirish miyad ha-bechiri. So when it says they saved Yosef from his brothers, because his brothers have free choice. They have bechira. Ki ha-bechira tevatel hadover. Bechira can be mevatel, what was intended to be. Now, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides when he wants to allow one person's bechira to infringe on another's personal territory. And HaKadosh Baruch has all his cheshbonis that everything works out. But according to Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, it's mashma that a certain thing would not have happened if not that this person decided to exercise his free will. I say there are many psukim both ways that discuss this issue. But on the simple level, the pasuk seems to say, "V'im b'nei ha'adam." David HaMelech is saying, if people are behind this, "Arurim heim lifnei Hashem," they're cursed before Hashem. Now, if it was going to happen anyways, and David would have had to leave Eretz Yisrael, so of course they deserve the punishment. But why is that like David's issue? In other words, like somebody else doing a different avera, these people are doing this avera. But it seems to imply that on a simple level on the pasuk, the simple reading of the pasuk, that they are hurting David and they're doing David an incalculable damage. David is going to have to leave Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Arurim Heim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu should deal with them." But they deserve a punishment and something that's hurting David. They're saying, "Leichavod Elohim Acherim, Va'ato now al yipol dami arza. My blood shouldn't fall to the ground, neged pnei Hashem, from before Hashem." David feels as if he's being killed. And in other words, my blood is like spilling to the ground, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see what I'm going through. Ki yotza melech Yisrael, because the king of Klal Yisrael went out, levakesh es paro shechad, to seek like a flea, kasher yirdof hakori behorim. Like somebody would go after hunting, a partridge, a good special bird that people go hunting in the mountains, so too the Melech Yisrael is going after a nobody, after a flea, after me. Vayomer Shol Chatosi, Pasuk Chof Aleph. Shol said, "I sinned. Shuv b'ni David, return my son David. Kilo ora lecha od, I will no longer do any bad to you. Tachas asher yokra nafshi beinecha, because I see how valuable my life was in your eyes, Hayom Hazet, today. I see the way you cared for me, and I will no longer do anything wrong to you. Hinei hiskalti, I was foolish, like a sochel, I was foolish. Vo'eshken, I made a mistake, a shkoga. Har be'ma'oid, very much, exceedingly." This is a vidui. Inehi skalti vo'eshke harbi ma'od. And our Shaul is aware of the full extent of what he's done. And remember, it wasn't just what he put David through, but this mistake that Shaul had led to the fact he took Michal and he gave it to somebody else, and he went ahead and he wiped out Novir Akonim. And it was all, as I say, Shaul takes the full responsibility for it. But it's also of note that it's clear he never did it on purpose. It wasn't done In other words, what Shaul's saying is, Hinei hiskalti, I was foolish, vo eshken, I made a shkoga, I made a mistake. It was a mistake. It wasn't a chas v'sholem that Shaul realized that David deserved to live, and he went ahead and he stomped it with rishus. No, it was done with a full awareness of doing the Ratzon Hashem. But it was foolish and it was mistaken. Vayan David vayomer. David called out and he said, Hinei chanis hamelech. Behold, here's the spear of the king. It's written with a hey, like hachanis. This is the spear. As if to say, this is the spear that was thrown at David more than once. This is the spear that I've been terrorized by. But hinei chanis hamelech. Here's the spear of the king. It's written without a hey. In other words, I don't know if it looked like any different than any other spear. But this was the spear of the king. Let one of the lads cross over and take it. Shaul invited him back. Shuv b'ni David, come back, my son David. But David declines the invitation. In other words, he's staying here. Let somebody come and get the spear. He's not going back to Shaul. Not only that, he says, Echad me'anorim, one of the lads. I don't know, you know, it could be he didn't even want a group to come. In other words, send over one person and he can come and get the spear. Of course, there was a jug of water also, but that's like a bizoyan to say to the king, send over somebody to pick up the canteen in order for that jug of water. But the royal spear, that already, send somebody and he'll take the spear. Vashem Yoshiv Lo Ish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return to the person as tzikosko, his tzidkis, meaning the good, the righteousness that he does, vesemunoso in his loyalty, his trust. As he's referring to himself, but al sanivus, he doesn't say Hashem should give me. Hashem should says Hashem should repay a person for his righteousness and his loyalty. Asher nesoncha Hashem hayom biyod. Hashem gave you today in the hand, as I had you in my hand. V'lo avisi, and I didn't want lishloach yodi b'mashiach Hashem to send out my hand against the one who is anointed by Hashem. Vihine, behold, kasher godla nafshecha ayom hazeh be'enoi. Like your life was great today in my eyes, and I value your importance in your life. Kein tigdol nafshi be'enei Hashem. So too my life should be great in the eyes of Hashem. V'yatzileni mikol tzaron, he should save me from all types of tzaros, all types of difficulties. At this point, David HaMelech isn't looking for any great enjoyment or hatzlocha, just he should be saved. Yatzileni mikol tzara, nerds. That's his whole request. Just save me from all tzarois. And he's not even turning to Shaul anymore. In other words, he's not saying, just like I was great in your eyes, just like you were important in my eyes, I should be important in your eyes. No, just like I value your life, Hashem should value my life. In other words, everything is directed. Everything is directed to Hashem. As on one hand, he has that tremendous kavod, the tremendous respect of knowing the greatness of Shaul, which we've mentioned many times again and again, that Shaul is in Gan Eden together with Shmuel HaNavi. Shaul is one of the greatest tzaddikim. Yet, our Kodesh Baruch wanted this episode that Shaul made a mistake. It was a mistake. In Eiskalti, it was a foolishness and it was a mistake. But Shaul didn't mean, chas v'shalom, any wickedness or any rishus. So David values and knows the importance of Shaul. Yet the tefillah is directed to Hashem. Vayomer Shaul al David. So Shaul said to David, Baruch ata b'ni David. You're blessed, my son David. Gam oso sase, you'll accomplish, you'll be a doer. V'gam yochol tuchol, and you'll be successful. Vayelech David l'darko. David went on his way. V'shaul shov l'makomo. And Shaul went back to his place. This is the last time that David meets together with Shaul. We're going to see David's going to go on his way, and he's going to have his encounters, and Shaul's going to have what Shaul does until eventually he's killed. This is the last that they meet together. David goes on his way, and Shaul returns to his place. Perek Chav Zayin. Vayomer David El Libo. David said to his heart, he said to his heart, seems to imply, we'll see in a moment, he's going to go leave with his men, and he's going to go to a place with his family, and there's a whole chain of events, but eventually his family and the families of all of his men are going to be captured, the city that they're in is going to be burnt, and it's going to look like a tremendous tragedy. In the end, everything works out well, but there's going to be difficult moments. And Perek Lamed, in Shmuel Aleph Perek Lamed, it's discussed. And over there it says clearly he had the Urim V'tumim. He had the Urim V'tumim of Yosser HaKohen was together with him. But over here, even though he had the Urim V'tumim, and even though he has many men with him, but Vayomer David Elibo, this is like his own decision. David says to his heart, without consulting his men, without consulting the Urim V'tumim, David decides, Ata esofe yomecha biad Sheol. Now, it looks like I'm going to perish in one day in the hands of Sheol. In other words, he's convinced that with all the promises, his life is in danger. Ein li tov, there's nothing better for me, ki himoleit imole, that escape, I should escape el eretz plishtim, to the land of the plishtim. As he's going to leave Eretz Yisrael, he's going to go to the Plishtim, even after the promises of Sheol. But it's happened too many times. Sheol, when he says it, he really means it. But eventually he changes his mind, either because of a Ruach Ra, or because the people convinced Sheol that David fooled you and you thought David is on your side, but it's not really true, David really is against you. And David felt that the air was poisoned, and whatever he would do, people would look at it negatively. And even if Sheol this moment means well, but people are constantly slandering him, and there's no chance that he's going to be able to live securely and peacefully in Eretz Yisrael. So I'm going to escape to the land of the Plishtim. It's a tremendous nisayon to see the way David reacts to this. In other words, he's going to feel more secure living among the Goyim than he would in Eretz Yisrael. And he chooses Eretz Plishtim. He chooses the land of the Plishtim. We mentioned on a previous shiur, the land of the Plishtim, on one hand, is a little, it's better than Chutz La'aretz, but it's not as good as Eretz Yisrael. And the proof is from Parshas told us with Yitzchak. Yitzchak was told he can't go down, even if there's a famine, he can't go down to Mitzrayim. He has to remain in Eretz Yisrael. Yet it says, Vayizra Yitzchak Ba'aretz Ahi, Yitzchak planted in that land, Vayimsa Bashona Hahi, and even though it was a difficult year, on that year he found Meya Sha'arim. The crops produced 100 times what it was estimated to produce. He was tremendously successful in that land. So Rashi says, even though that land is not as choshev as Eretz Yisrael, but still it produced a tremendous bounty. So you see, the land of the Plishtim, over there Yitzchak had gone to the Plishtim, Yitzchak Avinu. On one hand, he couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael, so he went to the land of the Plishtim. On the other hand, it's not as good as Eretz Yisrael, because within the boundaries, we were promised the land of 7 nations. That's mentioned many times in the Torah, the 7 nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Chiti, the Kanani, the Yebusi, the Girgashi. Those countries we were promised, not the land of the Plishtim, but it's within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, it's right against the Mediterranean. And it's within the boundaries. So it's like Eretz Yisrael, but yet not as good as Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, David decides he's going to flee to the land of the Plishtim. The Noash Mimeni Sheol. And Sheol is going to despair for me. And as the Malbim points out, there could be a number of reasons why Sheol would be chasing after David, if David would stay in Eretz Yisrael. And one is that he feels that David is out to rebel. He's going to gather together a group of Yidden on his side, and he's going to rebel. Once he leaves and he goes to the Eretz Plishtim, so he's no more harmful than all the other Goyim there. In other words, he's not like he's making an internal revolt with the Yidden. If he escapes from Noash Mimeni Sheol, Sheol will give up on me, and he figures, I'm not going to make a mutiny, I'm out of the country. Also, Levaksheni Od B'chol Gavul Yisrael, he's going to stop searching for me, because he won't be able to find me. In other words, he won't be afraid of a mutiny, and also it's not possible, there won't be a rebellion, and it's not possible to find me because I'm out of the border. V'nimlatati miyodo, and therefore I'll be able to escape from his hand. Meaning, even if he will come after me, he'll send some secret agents or he'll send some people to the land of the Plishtim to try to track down David, the very fact that it's not in Eretz Yisrael, it's a lot easier for me to escape from Shaul, because it's not in the area of his authority. So, I'll be safe. V'nimlatati miyodo, and I'll escape from his hands. Avraham Avinu had a nisoyin. He was told, Lech Lecha, he's got to leave his land, he's got to go to Eretz Yisrael. He gets to Eretz Yisrael and there's a famine. So Avraham went down to Mitzrayim. Was that good or bad? Was that a good decision or not? Leaving Eretz Yisrael is a very difficult decision to make. Most of the Mephorshim say on Pirkei Avos, Rashi and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah, we all know it says in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, Asur Nisyonos Nisnasa Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu got 10 tests, Va'omad Bekulam, and he withstood all of his tests. They learned one of the tests was, Hashem told Avraham, go to Eretz Yisrael, and he gets there and there's a famine. He can't live. So he has to leave. So that's like a tremendous Nisayin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him with a Nevuah, which he knows is from Hashem, and yet, he goes there and it doesn't work out. So to leave and not to have any questions, in order to know he went to Eretz Yisrael because Hashem said, and now there's a famine, he has to leave, so he'll leave. And he never questioned that. And that was, he was Oymid bin Yisoyin. The Ramban learns it was a mistake. It's not one of the ten Yisyonos. The Ramban says over there in Parshas Lech Lecha that he should have stayed. In other words, true, there was no food, and he should have stayed and things would have worked out or whatever. And then he went down to Mitzrayim, and that was a portend that Klal Yisrael would later on go down to Mitzrayim, also because there was no food. Avraham went down to Mitzrayim because there was no food, and Klal Yisrael had to go down to Mitzrayim because there was no food. And everything that happened was a parallel. They took Sarah, his wife, and therefore the Mitzrayim also said, V'chol abas t'chayun, they had in mind to keep alive the Jewish women. And then Paro sent them away with gifts, because Mitzrayim sent Klal Yisrael out with gifts. Everything, Maisa Ova Simin Labonim, everything Avraham did had an effect on Klal Yisrael. But he should have stayed. He shouldn't have gone. Anyway, he went, and he produced the history that would later develop. But that's a question whether Avraham Avinu was right or not, because he was given a mitzvah of Lech Lecha, and is this a nisayon that he withstood like most Rishonim learn, or should he have stayed? But here by David HaMelech, he never had a tzivui to be in Eretz Yisrael, but he has that nisoyon. What should he do? Shaul promised he'll take care of him. David knows he's the Mashiach Hashem. A person shouldn't put himself into a sakana. Vayomer David El Libo. And this is like David's personal decision. David said to his heart, it can't be, I can't stay. It must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Hashem would want. I'm going to escape to the lands of the Plishtim. Vayokum David got up, Vayavarhu, and he passed over Vesheshmios Isha Sherima with 600 men that were with him, El Ochish ben Moch Melach Gas, to Ochish ben Mooch, who is the king of Gas. And we can be assured, by the way, that when he went to Ochish, all the people who spoke against David would have said, here Shaul promised he won't do anything wrong to David. And again, where does David go to find friendship? Where does David go to spend his time? He goes to the Plishtim. That's the type of guy David is. But that's what David felt he had to do. So he went with his 600 men. And the question is, he was there already. He had been by Achish. He had been by the king of Gas, by the king of the Plishtim. And when he had gone there, the people said, isn't that David, the Melech Haaretz, the king of the land, the one that they went singing and dancing, that Shaul killed his thousands, v'David Bereav Avosav, David his tens of thousands, and David acted like he was Meshuga. And then they said, oh, he's crazy, and they sent him away. He barely escaped with his life. So now he has to find a place to flee, and he goes to the land of the Plishtim. So he mentioned there's certain advantages to the land of the Plishtim, but he had one dangerous encounter. I would have imagined he would have found a different place to go. The Radak asks the question, and the Meforshim discuss it, and there's a number of explanations that they have. One is, previously David went, before it was known that Shaul was against him. Or he had run away from Shaul, but it wasn't news around the whole world. In other words, Shaul had thrown the spear at David, and David went to his house, and then soldiers were sent after him, and he ended up by Achish, by the king of the Plishtim. But it wasn't well known, and could be at that point they figured, oh, this is David, whose Shaul kills his thousands, and David his tens of thousands, this is the enemy. At this point already, it had already been well known that David's been wandering around, and Shaul's been chasing him. Everyone knew he's against Shaul. So you don't have to worry that David's going to attack the Plishtim. If anything, the Jews are against him. David's the outcast. So David this time felt safe going to the land of the Plishtim. It could also be that David this time, he wasn't running away yet. You know, Shaul had promised he'll be safe. David decided he has to leave because you never know when Shaul will change his mind. But it doesn't have the urgency like Shaul's pursuing him. At the moment, Shaul had gone back Shavli Mekoyma. He had gone back to his place. So David could be made contact with Achish and told him he's going to come, you know, and got a response from Achish that Achish will accept him. And he felt that he could trust Achish, and he went. Another explanation we'll see, this time he's coming with 600 men. The last time he came as a single person. So if a single foreigner shows up, you suspect he might be a spy. So he might hurt the country, he might be a spy, and he's certainly not going to be of any benefit. What are you going to do with a single man? A single man shows up in the capital city. He might hurt the country, but he's certainly not going to be an asset. To have David walking around, it's just a potential danger. So they took him and they figured, let's kill him, he's a threat. This time David's coming with 600 men. So especially if he arranges in advance, he's coming with a whole group of men who are being chased by Shaul Melech Yisrael. And Achish figures, you know, this might be an asset to him. If there's a war between him and Shaul, he knows that David will be with him. He's coming with 600 men, so it could be beneficial to the land of the Plishtim. So this time they would readily accept him without placing him in danger. And also, Vayeshev David im Achish Bagas, David's living with Achish in Gas, Hu v'anoshav, he and his men, Ish uveso, every man with his house. It's not like a single person coming. He came with the families. David ushtei noshav, David with both of his wives, Achinoam ha-Yisraelis, v'avigayil, Eshes Novel ha-Karmelis. Avigayil, the wife of Novel, the Karmelis, I mean, Novel was killed, now it was his wife. But Achinoam and Avigayil, he came with his two wives, and they came with the families, and all his men brought their families. So it was clear that they're moving to the land of the Plishtim, and there's no reason why Achish should think that they're a threat. If somebody's going on a dangerous mission, or he's trying to subvert the country, he wouldn't bring his family along. So therefore, David felt safe, he's going to go to the land of the Plishtim. Vayugad l'Shaul, and it was told to Shaul, Kivorach David Gas, that David had fled to Gas. Below Yosef od Levaksho, and he no longer seeked after David. But the expression that he didn't continue seeking David anymore seems to imply that had David remained in Eretz Yisrael, it could be he would have gone after David again. But here David is in Gas. So that's it, he wrote him off and he ignored him, that's it, he stopped chasing after him. Vayomer David al Achish. David said to Achish, Im no matzasi chein beinecha. Achish might want him to stay in the capital city. And we'll see in a moment, David had plans how he's going to benefit Klal Yisrael. And it's to his benefit not to be next to Achish, where Achish can see every move that he's doing. On the other hand, Achish might want him in the capital city. So David wants to ask permission to be able to move out to the countryside, where he can do whatever he wants without being supervised. So he says to Achish, you might want me to be in the city because you're afraid that I'm going to rebel. You don't want a guy like David with 600 warriors in your country free to roam around and you can't keep an eye on us. You'd like us in the capital city where you have your army base also. The king had all his soldiers there, and therefore when you're dealing in the capital city, 600 men is not a threat. And therefore maybe you want me to stay with you in the capital. So David said to Achishim, "No matzasi chen beinecha. What I'm going to say is only if I find favor in your eyes. If you're going to look at me as a threat, then my words I know you're not going to accept. But if I find favor in your eyes, and you think well of me, and you don't think that I'm out to hurt you," which David is impressing him, that he's not a danger. "If you look at me favorably, I'm hoping you'll let me leave the city." Now, of course, you might say, you know, as long as you're in the city, I can take care of you. The other way around, you know, the people here are xenophobic, and when they see a bunch of Jews in their country, who knows what they're going to do? They're anti-Semites also. It's a danger to you. I'd like you in the capital city where I can protect you. So David says, "No, if I find favor in your eyes, yidlu li mokom, they should give me a place. I don't want to scatter around. You're right, I don't want to be scattered around the plishtim where I would be in danger. But if you give me a single place where we can all be together, we can take care of ourselves. Ba'achas orei hasada, it should be in one of the towns of the field." In other words, I'm not looking for a fortified city where, you know, you have to be afraid that if I go to this walled city, I can start a revolt and I'm protected. No, just give me a little village where I'm out in the open and I won't be a threat, and if we're all together, we'll be safe. If I find favor in your eyes, give me one of these orei hasada of Eish Hashem and I'll live there. V'loma yeshiv avdecha, why should your servant live b'ir hamamlocha imach, in the capital city with you? I know familiarity breeds contempt, but you know, why should I stay with you? You know, it's better for both of us if I move out and I live in the countryside. There are psukim in Tehillim. Well, like David says, there's one pasuk, v'adabra be'edosecha negen melochim v'lo evosh. I speak in your mitzvahs, in your edus, opposite the kings, and I'm not embarrassed. This is one of the occasions where David met, where David had dealings with Achish, the king of Gath, and he's spending time. Of course, here he's making the request to go to a city, but these are the times that David is together with Goyim and with foreign rulers, and throughout it all, you see in Tehillim that he used it, that he spoke in the Torah, he wasn't embarrassed, that he's a servant of Hashem. But he made this request to Achish. Vayitin lo Achish bayom ahu es tziklag. And without a problem, on that day, Achish gave him on that day a tziklag, he gave him a city. He said, "You know, we have a whole city that's ready to be settled, or we can move right in. Go to tziklag, it'll be yours." Lachin hoisa tziklag l'malche Yehuda. Therefore, tziklag became a city that was owned by the royalty, the kings of Yehuda, ad hayom hazeh, till today, meaning till Sefer Shmuel was written. Tziklag now became, in other words, Tziklag, it says in Sefer Yoshua, in Perek Tesvov, when the country was divided up, Tziklag was a city that belonged to Yehuda. It belonged to Shevet Yehuda. But obviously, over the course of the centuries, there were around 400 years between when Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael and when this takes place. Over the centuries, the Plishtim had obviously captured it at some point, and it was in the control of the Plishtim. But now that it was given to David, it no longer belonged to the tribe, to the whole Shevet at large, but it became the personal property of David and the kings of Yehuda. This is an example of Lev Melochim Biyad Hashem. The heart of the kings is in the hands of Hashem. And Birtzos Hashem Darche Ish, when Hashem wants the ways of a person, his enemies make peace with him. These are Psukim and Mishle. That the fact that he goes to Achish, and Achish says, "Okay, I'll give you a city," and accepts the request. He accepts it immediately, and he gives him the city without a problem. There's a tremendous Siyata Dishmaya. But I noticed that the Das Seifrim points out that the truth is Achish, it's not the first time that Achish showed a gentler side, which again could be, it's completely hashkacha. But even the first incident, when David came to
Achish, and he acted like he was Meshuga. The truth is, a regular ruler, a tyrant, a regular ruler, if there's somebody here that looks like he's a spy and he's a threat to the country, on the other hand, could be he's a crazy person. So most people would just kill him. A guy is a tyrant, would just kill him. Otherwise, he might be a threat, so they don't value his life. He's not even one of their countrymen. He's a foreigner, and he might be a danger. So normally, they wouldn't have saved his life. Achish said, oh, he's crazy, just send him away. And he let him go. And here again, Achish seems to be the one who's chosen this way to have that role, that zechus, whatever he gave Tziklag to David. In fact, he points out, in Pasuk Beis we had before, Achish ben Ma'och, it mentions his father, which you don't normally find, and it normally says Achish, the king of Gath, it doesn't mention his father. Could be mentions the father over here, the fact that Achish did a good deed, his father gets mentioned. But, be that as it may, Achish gives David the city of Tziklag. Vayhi mispar yomim. It was the number of days asher yoshav David bistei plishtim, that David was living in the field of the plishtim, yomim v'arboa chadashim. Yomim in 4 months. Dabar Benel says yomim, if it meant days, it should have said 4 months and 2 days. Arboa chadashim and shnei yomim. 4 months and 2 days. And in fact, later on we're going to see in Perek Chof Tes, Achish is discussing with his men, and he says that David is not a threat in Pasuk Vav, in Perek Chof Tes Pasuk Vav. Correct. One minute. In Perek Chof Tes. Achish mentions that David had been with him. Oh, in Perek Chof Tes Pasuk Gimel. Achish says to his men, this is Shol Asher Hoye Iti Ze Yomim O Ze Shonim. He was with me days and years. You see that it seems to be David was there Shonim. He was there years. And we'll see, according to Chazal, years would have to mean it feels like years. And those, I've known him a long time. I've known about him. But simply, it seems to be David was there a long time. In fact, the Targum uses the expression Yomim Idan be'idan, which simply means a year. That David was in the field of the plishtim for yomim, a year, barbo chadashim, in 4 months. Like you find when Eliezer went to find the shidduch for Rivka, and Rivka was ready to leave, her family said, teshev hanaro itanu yomim, awasar. Let her stay here for a year, or if not a year, at least 10 months. So yomim can mean a year. However, Chazal say, even though the Targum, they say, implies differently in Abar Benel, Chazal say that Yomim here literally means 2 days. It means 2 days. Could be they see the very fact that, first of all, if it says Chadoshim, if it says months, and it meant a year, it would have said Shonim. The fact that it says Yomim, and it mentions Chadoshim months, Yomim here would mean literally days. And there's a reason why in calculation it has to be this way. Rashi brings it down. Eli was the shofet, was the leader of Klal Yisrael, Eli HaKohen, for 40 years. On the day he became the leader, Chana came and she davened for a son, where they had the very beginning of Shmuel. And a year later Shmuel was born, and Chazal learned he lived 52 years. So that's already 53 years of Eli's life Shmuel's life spanned the 40 years that Eli was the ruler, and it went another 13 years past that. When the Aron was captured, it was 20 years by the land of the Plishtim. Then it was brought to, and then David brought it up to Yerushalayim. David was the king in Hebron for 7 years before he brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. First he was the king for 7 years, and then he took the Aron and brought it. So if you calculate, there were 60 years, 40 years that the Eli was the leader. After that, Shiloh was destroyed and the Aron was captured for 20 years. So 40 and 20 is 60. On the other hand, Shmuel, there was a year till he was born, and then 52 years, and then David was the king in Hebron 7 years. There simply is no extra time to allow for David being in the field of the Plishtim for a whole year and 4 months. would have had to mean yomim literally 2 days barboach hadashim in 4 months, meaning we're counting the days. The very fact that David is suffering in the land of the Plishtim, on one hand he feels secure and he feels there's no place safer than the land of Plishtim, there's no place better for him in the circumstances. On the other hand, every day that he was away, it's 2 days and 4 months. Vayal David va'anoshav. David and his men went up. Vayifshetu el ha-gishuri va'gizri. They spread out to the Geshuri and the Gizri v'ha-amoleki and the Amoleki. They spread out and they attacked these different nations. Kihena yoshvus ha'aretz Hashem Eolam. They're the ones who always lived in the land. They were there, they were secure, they were always there. So in the simple meaning, they weren't warring, they weren't traveling around, they hadn't been in exile, they hadn't been capturing other countries. They were always in that place, so they sort of weren't on the lookout. Boach HaShura, on the road going to Shur, Vaderetz Mitzroyim, could be they went by the road that these people were marauders, and they used to attack travelers. But David now went with his men, and he attacked the Geshuri, the Gizri, and the Amaleki. And he attacked these countries. Vehika David Esaretz, and David struck the land, meaning not just the men, he like destroyed the cities and the whoever was living there. Vehika David Esaretz, he struck the land. V'lo yechaya ish v'isha, and he didn't leave anybody over that he didn't kill. Oh, it's Pasha. It could be there were people, it doesn't say he killed everyone, it could be some people escaped, but he didn't leave anybody alive. Chazal learned out by mentioning the boundary, Boach HaShura v'Eretz Mitzrayim. That's the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. That at that point, that this time, obviously, Geshuri, Gizri, Amaleki, they were living, they were on the south of Eretz Yisrael, but this was right by the border. These were from the Zayin Amamin. These were from the nations that had to be, that there's a mitzvah of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. That if they make peace with Klal Yisrael under certain conditions, or if they want, they can run away. But if they're remaining in the land, they're not allowed to be left alive in the land. Unless they, the Rambam has a discussion in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Vav, if they accept the Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noach, and they agree to be subservient, but they can't remain as an independent people. Or they can run away, they can leave the country, or they got to follow the conditions. And if not, Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama. So it could be at this point, David, besides the other benefits that he has to Klal Yisrael, that these people were enemies of Klal Yisrael, but they also was a mitzvah of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, and while David was in this outlying area, while he was in the Ori HaSodeh, the field in Ziklag, he attacked these nations. V'hiko David es ha'aretz v'lechai ish v'isha. V'lokach, and he took tzonu v'okar, sheep and cattle, v'chamorim and donkeys, v'gmalim and camels, v'gotim and clothing, v'yosha v'yavu el Achish. And he returned, and he came to Achish. The Meforshim are, the Abarbanel finds this episode very difficult to understand. As Achish goes ahead, and he invites David, and he does such a chesed, and he lets David come to the country, and then David gets there, and he starts attacking all the goyim. And we'll see, he didn't leave anybody alive so that nobody could report back to Achish what's going on. In other words, whenever he came to a city, everybody, the simple meaning is everybody was killed. So nobody could report what happened. And David would come back to Achish, and Achish didn't know what happened. And it's like a breach of trust. Which, of course, you can learn that if it's a heter, it's permitted. But the Abarbanel is bothered with that. That the fact that a chesed was done for David, and David would now misuse that trust and turn against Achish, is difficult. And what? There were cities that were destroyed, and nobody ever wondered who did it? We'll see, this happened for a while. Or David would do this on a daily basis. And the city's constantly destroyed, and nobody wonders who did it. So Abarbanel learns that these countries were actually enemies of the Plishtim also. They were enemies of the Plishtim and enemies of Klal Yisrael. So David was loyal to Achish, and yet at the same time he benefited Klal Yisrael. And he has a beautiful proof from the Pesukim later on. It says in Perek Lamed, we have that episode that Siklag was captured, which we'll discuss later, and burnt, and all of the families were taken into captivity. And then David found a nar over there, one of the lads, a nar Amaleki. And it said over there, in Pusuk Yudalit, in Perek Lamed, he asked this nar Mitzri, who was an Evid to Amalek, he found a lad over there, and he wanted to know what happened to everybody in the city. Everyone's gone. Who took them? And the boy told him, Anachnu Pashatnu Negev HaKresi. We spread out to attack the south of Kresi, which Rashi says clearly is to the south by the Plishtim. V'alashir li Yehuda, and against Yehuda. Now, this was a country that was to the south of Eretz Yisrael in the land of the Plishtim, and they bothered the Plishtim, and they bothered Klal Yisrael. And then it says afterwards in Pasuk Tezayin over there that all the Goyim that after they had captured Siklag, they were all partying with all of the booty. Asher lokchu me'eretz Plishtim u'me'eretz Yehuda. So that what they took from the Plishtim and from Yehuda. So David wasn't lying to Achish. In other words, he told Achish that he went to the south of Yehuda, which we'll get to in a moment. But all those nations that he was destroying were enemies of Klal Yisrael. And they were also enemies of the Plishtim. Vayomer Achish. Achish said to David, Al Peshatetem Hayom. Al, Rashi says, is like sometimes the Lamed is interchangeable with the Nun. It's like on, like, to where did you spread out today? Where did you attack? Or Al could be as if it be with an Ayin. Al, on which city did you go? Or Al Peshatetem Hayom, you didn't attack anybody today. Al could also mean no, like Al Tochlu Mimenu No, you can't eat the Korban Pesach raw. Al can mean no. But Al Peshatetem Hayom, the question was, you didn't go anywhere today, or where did you go today? Vayomer David, so David said, Al Negev Yehuda, Al Negev HaYarach Me'eli, to the south of Yehuda, and the south of Yarach Me'eli, which was in part of Eretz Yisrael, Al Negev HaKeni. Cainy was the family of Yisro that had joined onto Klal Yisrael. Seemingly, he attacked the south of Eretz Yisrael. Which again, it could be there were Goyim living in the south of Eretz Yisrael. Either it wasn't MS, not that again, as we mentioned before, not that he hurt the Plishtim by attacking the nations he did, but it could be he didn't tell them the truth of where he went because he wanted to find favor by Achish. Or it could be he really did go anywhere where Goyim were in that area. V'ish v'ish lo yechaya David. David didn't keep alive any man or woman, lahavi gas lamer, to bring back to Gas, saying what happened, pen yagidu aleinu lamer, because they might report what happened, ko osa David v'chov mishpato. This is what David did, and this is what his practices, his mishpat, his justice, what he does. Ko ayomim asher yoshav v'stei plishtim. The whole time that he was in the field of the plishtim, this is what David did. And Abarbanel explains that it could be the word Goyim who escaped. And what it means, he didn't keep anybody alive, means whoever David got his hands on were killed. But it could be he allowed them to escape. But since they were enemies of the Plishtim, they on their own wouldn't go to Achish and report what happened. Nobody's going to go to Achish and say David attacked us, because they're the enemy. On the other hand, David didn't take any captives, because if he came back to Gaza, true, they're enemies. But if he came back to Gaza and they asked what he was doing, even though they're enemies of the Plishtim, but they are Goyim, it's not like David's story that he went to the south of Eretz Yisrael wouldn't have stood up if he would have brought captives from these countries. So David went ahead, and whoever didn't flee, whoever he got a hold of, lo yechai ish v'isha, nobody was kept alive. And David didn't bring anybody back. And he didn't have to worry about anybody on his own going and reporting to the king, because they were the enemies of Achish also. Vayamein Achish b'David leimar, Achish trusted David, saying, Havish hivish ba'amo. He's obviously on bad terms. Ba'amo with his people, meaning the tribe of Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda, the people of Yehuda. He's not getting along with them either. If anything, he seems to be attacking the south of Yehuda. That's what he reported he's doing. B'Yisrael, ba'amo v'Yisrael, and with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is also against David. He'll always be a servant for me. I can trust him. David will always be an Eved to me, to Achish, the king of Gath. I think greatness of David HaMelech, not that it taps his greatness, but something for us to get an appreciation is, very often if a person is put through such a nisayon, where he's opposed by Klal Yisrael, and he feels safer by the Goyim, as he can't live in Eretz Yisrael, if you think about it, David HaMelech can't live with his men in Eretz Yisrael because he's afraid he might get killed any day. The normal human reaction is to hate the people who hate you. As if everyone's out to kill David, and he can't find anywhere in the country where he feels safe, he should turn against Klal Yisrael. That would be the normal thing. And yet, his love for Klal Yisrael, and his high regard for Shaul, he's not damaged at all. It's all from Hashem, and he directs his tefillos and his prayers to Hashem. There's an interesting shaila in the Mincha Shlomo, from Rav Shlomo, my Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He has a question like this. Imagine it's a hot summer day, and a guy knocks on your door, and he's not frum, and he needs a drink. But it's no case of pikuach nefesh or sakon. It's a hot day, he wants a drink. And you know if you give him a drink, he's definitely not going to make a bracha. And normally you have to have enough concern for your fellow Jew, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, don't cause a person to do an aveira. You have to love him enough not to cause him to do an aveira. And you know if you give him a drink, he's going to take it without a bracha. And of course through your mind you're thinking all those things, maybe I can, I'll make the bracha for him and I'll be moitzi and I'll have a drink. But you size up the situation, the guy's looking at you at the door, he's not interested in your frumkeit, he wants a drink and he doesn't want to hear any stories. Either you have enough derech eretz to help him or not. And you don't know, what should he do? So Rav Shlomo Zalman has a question as follows. If you give him a drink, he'll have a high regard for a frum Jew, and at least he got basic decency, basic manners. You give him a drink. If you don't give him a drink, he'll come to hate Talmid Chachamim. He'll hate from Yidden. He'll hate you. No, no, he sees one. You don't have the decency. You ask for a drink. You don't give him a drink. He'll come to hate you. And hating a frum Yid is a much worse avera than almost everything else. Rabbeinu Yonah mentions in his Shari Tshuva, he lists the levels of Averis, starting with Dirabonans and Mitzvah Saseis and Mitzvah Lo Saseis, and he goes through the whole level. And like one of the worst things is if somebody hates a person because he serves Hashem, if you have a negative impression of those who serve Hashem, that's a terrible Avera. So maybe if you're giving him a drink, you're not causing an Avera, you're causing him to have a better regard for from Jews, and that's a tremendous mitzvah. On the other hand, here you're doing an action. In other words, do you do that? In other words, simply right now you're giving him a drink and he's going to drink it without a bracha. And he ends off, he has that question. He ends up, he has a tzarech iyun. Well, exactly, you're doing, because here you're doing an action to mamish, give him the drink and causing him to do it without a bracha. On the other hand, the alternative is terrible. Somebody to hate a from the Yid. But for David to go through this, and to know that his Shaul is the Mashiach Hashem, and Shaul is out to kill him for no reason, and he tells Shaul again and again, and everybody's saying Lashon Hara on David, and the air is so poisoned, David can't stay in Eretz Yisrael. And through that all, David has a tremendous Avas Yisrael. Tremendous love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A tremendous, it's Nisyonis, and he's davening that Nisyonis should be over, that he can get on with his Avodas Hashem. But to have that, that's a glimpse of the greatness of David HaMelech. It's something that it's a big Nisyon. We should never be caught in such a situation. When a person's opposed by Frum HaYidin, and the Shem Chas for Shalom cause any lessening of our regard, for Klal Yisrael, that's for Amei Kulam Tzadikim. You have to look at all of Klal Yisrael as being Tzadikim and have that outlook of David HaMelech as David HaMelech goes to live among the Plishtim and help out Klal Yisrael.
For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.